VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Friends, we do thank you for joining us today on Crosstalk. There are many, many critical issues that are impacting us across this nation and around the world. Today is another one of those critical issues that you need to be informed of. According to a leading watchdog group, levels of Christian persecution are at a record high globally. The number of Christians murdered on account of their faith rose 60% during the year 2020, with 91% of the violent killings for religious reasons occurring in Africa. But persecution is not isolated to Africa. It's taking place in countries all over the world. Other forms of persecution are taking place daily around the globe, with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ needing our prayers. Scripture tells us to remember those who are in bonds as being in bonds with them, and that's the purpose of our program today, to open our eyes to the extent of persecution taking place around the world. Joining us today, we welcome back Dr. David Curry, who is President and CEO of Open Doors USA. They're an advocate on behalf of those who are persecuted for their Christian faith. It's their mission to strengthen and equip Christians who live under extreme restrictions while encouraging these believers to remain strong in the faith. They work in the world's most oppressive and restrictive countries for Christians. And Dr. Curry, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you for having me on, Jim. I always appreciate it.
Each year at Open Doors, for many years now, you've produced a world watch list, and we'll get into the specifics of this list, but if you would just tell us about the list itself and how you go about compiling it.
Well, we've been producing this list for over 25 years, and it really came from our experience working with persecuted countries, first in the Soviet Union, back many of those years ago, and now in all of these places that we're going to discuss today. And what we discovered was that it was different everywhere. So in some places, there was violence against Christians. In other places, there wasn't any violence, but there was no freedom either. So we began to struggle with how do you compare these differing situations? And so we created a scoring system, and I have really smart statistic folks. I was going to try to figure out another word there. But,
statistician.
exactly.
There we go.
So to try to figure out how can we really keep the body of Christ informed as to what's really happening.
Yeah.
We know this is a big issue because there's lots of stuff we never hear about. So you're tempted to believe, well, if you don't hear about it, it must not be happening. Mm. And other times you hear stories and you just wonder how typical is that? So that's what we're trying to do, help people to know what's happening around the world that they can count on. These are data points. It's not the only thing that's happening. We're only reporting what we can prove, what we can show. It's certainly going to be more than what we can show, but it does help you know reliably the level of persecution around the world.
And when you speak of persecution, here we learn sometimes of a person being cut off from social media. This is far more than just being cut off from social media, isn't it?
Yeah, when we say that there are 340 million Christians who suffer high levels of persecution and discrimination, we're talking about a whole range of activities, but it would certainly be more than just an uneasy feeling. We're talking about where you lose your job, where you might be assaulted or attacked, where you could have some sort of a monitoring or oppression upon you. So these are the kinds of things we're talking about. It can be subtle. Certainly, we call it like a squeeze on your life, where maybe you're not going to get killed.
Mm-hmm.
But in some countries, they have this incredible squeeze where they make it so difficult to even breathe. It's almost like they're choking the life out of you with all of its restrictions. So it varies in various places around the world, but it can be a very, very severe discrimination and oppression.
And you're talking some large numbers here. You just used the term of more than 340 million Christians, which you've broken down to about 1 in 8 Christians worldwide. And knowing that the U.S. by and large is exempt from those numbers, it's really got to be intensified there.
It's intense, and you know, people wonder, like, how do you get those numbers? Well, when you think that there's 100 million Christians in China, when you think of the millions and millions of Christians in sub-Saharan Africa now, where there's incredible persecution, mm-hmm. you begin to realize, oh, yeah, okay, that's how you get these very reliable numbers. Because we could talk throughout the hour on what's going on in China. Mm-hmm. Every believer now in China faces some very severe monitoring because they are a Christian, and the discrimination that is downstream from that.
We're going to be getting more into China. We're going to focus. Let's start on the top five nations. And I noticed here, David, that the top five nations on the watch list this year, they stayed the same as last year. Number one being North Korea. There's Afghanistan, Somalia, Libya, and Pakistan. But tell us first, if you would, about North Korea. It's been number one, actually, a long time. Is it staying the same there as number one, or is it really intensifying even further in North Korea?
Well, it's stayed the same, but the persecution there is so intense that it remains high. So here's how that looks in real time, Jim. You have several things we're measuring. We're measuring persecution within the family. What's it like if your mom and dad find out that you're a Christian, in your private life, in your community, in the national life? The violence level. So we're measuring across a number of these things. And in China, in North Korea, you just have intensity across all levels. You have situations where parents can't talk. They don't feel free to talk to their children about their own personal faith walk because the children will be paid. They could be bribed to report their parent for having a Bible in North Korea. It happens over and over and over again. So you have these neighborhood watches there where the neighbors will be given more food. Remember, there's intense famine there in North Korea, so food has a currency. So they could be given more food if they, say, notice somebody who had been suspected of being a Christian or had activities like small groups or have somebody over, these kinds of things. They have that community pressure there. So there's all of these things happening in North Korea, and it's really unique on the world watch list because of the mix of things going on there. You have all of the pressure points, but you also have this, I'll call it a cult like following imposed upon the people of North Korea of its leader and past generations of his family. Kim Jong-un is expected to be worshipped. And you have a situation where his father and his grandfather are expected to be worshipped. So you have communist system, you have this cult-like thing going on, you have control over the borders, over the police force, over your food sources. Very, very intense persecution.
Is it true that forced abortions are taking place there too?
Well, we don't. I can't speak to that particular thing. I would not be surprised as to how that affects Christians uniquely. What we're trying to figure out is how are Christians being uniquely persecuted? Mm-hmm. And in their ranking system, what you have is Christians being considered the number one enemy of the state because they view them and score them as such. So you have this three-generation system there. If you're a believer and you're found to be a believer, you will certainly be in prison. You'll probably lose your life in the labor camp. But your children, and if you have grandchildren, their children, they may not all go to, let's say your grandchildren may not go to a labor camp. Let's say you've long past died and you've gone on to heaven. But they will have on the record of your grandchildren, that person's grandfather was a Christian, and they will be considered a suspicious person in North Korea. So you have these very unusual systems there. Now, why would they do that? Because they want to totally eliminate Christianity. The good news is they're not eliminating Christianity. Right. There's still people of faith there. They're incredible, wonderful people. The Bible still exists in North Korea despite every effort to snuff it out. It's still God's word. So there's a lot of power going on in North Korea, but it's very difficult.
Yeah, and as you were speaking here, David, I thought of the Apostle Paul, who recognized that his bonds in Christ caused all of Caesar's household, I mean, the gospel flourished as a result of the persecution that he was going through, reaching areas that otherwise would not have.
Yeah, it's not always the case that the church prospers under persecution. There are some key elements needed. You need a reliance on Scripture. When people don't have Scripture, they get off on crazy ideas, and you can get some unhealthy things happening that weakens the state of the body of Christ. When people are isolated, certainly the tactic of the enemy is to isolate Christians so that they feel alone, they give up. So where Christians can make an effort, even on the most basic level, to connect with other believers and know that they're not alone. In these kinds of conditions, you can see the faith flourish underground, and that's happened in many places.
What are any other observations you want to make about this top five list? I see others of these are what Islamic nations, are they not?
Well, maybe I could compare number one, North Korea, to number two and three, Somalia and Afghanistan.
Sure.
And because I sort of inverted those, Afghanistan is number two, Somalia number three, and really Libya as well. You have the next three being what I would call failed states, or where you have a central government in Somalia but really doesn't control much except for the capital city. So you have tribal groups, Islamic tribal groups in Somalia, and extremist groups. Al-Shabaab is one of them. They're closely related to names that people would understand, like Al-Qaeda and ISIS. Same kinds of theologies. So in Afghanistan and Somalia, you have this large portion of these countries that are controlled by extremist groups, and their ideology is that Christians are infidel, that their life is not worth it. So that leaves a very wide territory of land and significant portions of that country that are lawless, and Christians are targeted. That's why those are number two and number three and so difficult. And then Libya, obviously even more chaotic. You have three different kind of governments, none of which are recognized as having control over the whole state. Lots of extremism and tribalism there. So it's just very difficult in those countries. Uh-huh. Hard to see a pathway to some normality as well.
I also want to call attention to Africa. What's going on there that there is so much persecution that is increasing in the continent of Africa?
Well, you have this, you really have a division within the continent. You have some of the countries in the north that live under Sharia law, and then in the south you have countries where there's massive majorities of Christian population. What's happening is across the middle sectors is like a band across the African continent where these two, you might say, theologies or worldviews collide. And that's where you're getting a lot of this persecution. Mm-hmm. So perhaps the most vivid picture is Nigeria, and we can talk about that when we return, because it's an example of what's happening in the entire continent.
Okay, we'll get to Nigeria right after the break. David Curry is with us today from Open Doors USA as a advocate on behalf of those who are persecuted for their Christian faith. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, is there ever interbreeding between species?
Indeed there is, Chris. To illustrate this, let's talk about dogs. We know that in domestic dogs there are many different breeds, and some of them are very different, from Great Danes to Chihuahuas, but all of them are interfertile. They're all part of the same species. The Bible tells us that God created the various kinds, and the dog kind, no doubt, included the domestic dogs. But it evidently also included the wolf and the fox and the coyote, because all of them can interbreed. Now I find that even jackals have been interbred with domestic dogs. Jackals have a very acute sense of smell, and so breeding them with huskies produced a new dog, which are good sniffer dogs for use at airports. Once again, Chris, we see that the biblical creation story is the one that makes sense, and that's the back to Genesis truth.
This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.
Friends, by looking at the clock, I can tell you this, we are not going to make it through country by country going through this World Watch List, but we'll be sharing with you how you can obtain a copy of this World Watch List. So be ready to jot down some information, have a sheet of paper handy, a pen or a pencil to jot this information down. We're talking today with David Curry, President and CEO of Open Doors USA, and we talked about North Korea in particular, some others in the top five, but are also looking now at the continent of Africa, because there's a lot of persecution taking place here. Matter of fact, as we were just going into the break, David started talking about Nigeria, which I noticed, David, here jumped into your top 10 this year. As a matter of fact, I saw in one of your reports that 10 Christians a day are murdered on average on account of their religious beliefs in Nigeria. Tell us more about Nigeria.
Yeah, Nigeria is an example of what's happening in the entire continent. You have millions of Christians in the south of Nigeria and Lagos. In the north, you have these 13 Sharia law states. Extremism is just, you know, all throughout the country. And then you have these extremist groups. Boko Haram is the name of one of them. Fulani is the name of the other. They both have a very similar ideology. Maybe they have a different tact in how they go about it. The Fulani attack Christian territory, villages, fields, Christian owners, and try to create what I call a genocide by attrition, where they burn out their food sources, their revenue sources, and try to force them from territory because they think that they're infidels. Now, the Boko Haram is more in terms of what we have come to know from Al-Qaeda and ISIS, where they are terrorists, they attack, they kill, they murder, and just try to cause massive disruption in order that Christians would die, leave, these kinds of things. So with all of that going on, there's just an immense amount of violence in the north of Nigeria. And that picture of what's happening is really what's happening throughout the continent. You have extremism, you have tribal groups, but you, at the bottom of it, you have this ideology that says there's no room for Christians within this. And Nigeria, I think it certainly qualifies as a genocide, what's happening there, intentional targeting of Christians to push them out, to kill them if necessary. And it's sad to see how the government there has been so ineffectual in dealing with it.
Wow. I believe it's four of the countries in Africa are in your top 10 list this particular time. Sudan has left your top 10 list, though, this year. It was number 7 last year. This year it's number 13. Does this mean things are getting better in Sudan, or are they just
intense?
Things
are getting better in Sudan.
Good.
The cultural imprints, when we measure across, you know, some of the things happening within family life, for example, where extremism is taught and these kinds of things, there's, you know, still obviously significant pressure, but Sudan has repealed their blasphemy law. We feel like the government is more amenable to diversity of faith within the country. So that's a very positive statement. Just to help people understand a little bit about blasphemy laws, these are laws which are passed. They're in Pakistan, they were in Sudan, and many countries where there's Islamic leadership that give incredible leeway to people to accuse a Christian of blasphemy. They get a life sentence, a death sentence. In many cases, they're killed by a mob if it's passed around on social media or whatever, that these people have been accused of blasphemy. And it rises up a vigilante justice against Christians. There are cases in Pakistan right now. I know one in particular. This family is really, the facts around the accusation of blasphemy are absolute. paper thin. They've been accused of sending a text in English that slighted the Prophet Muhammad. But these folks are poor. They're illiterate. They don't even speak. Can't write. They certainly don't have cell phones to text. These are just poor Christian people in Pakistan. Yet they've been on death row for 6 years they've been accused of blasphemy. So repealing a blasphemy law is a significant step forward for Sudan, and we'd like to see more of it. I'm hoping that it will show a pattern for other countries of how you can move to a more open society.
David Curry with us here today on Crosstalk. David, you mentioned China early in our interview, and I'd like to bring them into the picture at this point because they, this year, jumped into your top 20. They jumped some six positions from the year previous. So expose for us what is going on in China to help us better understand the plight of believers there.
Well, I think China... And this might sound a little surprising considering that they're not number one. They're number 17 on our world watch list. But I think they pose the greatest threat to religious freedom. And I say that because of what's happening there on a technological basis and the blueprint they're building for other countries and potentially Islamic regimes to use technology to monitor and punish Christians. What they're doing there is that they have a national database that is now being used to score religious participation, whether you go to church, whether you go to Bible study, what you say, what you search for on the internet, all of these kinds of things. If you attend church on Zoom, they monitor all of it, and they score it as a negative on your civic score. So every person there gets 2,000 points for being a citizen, and you can be deducted if you steal, if you get speeding ticket, and if you're a criminal, these sorts of things. And they then limit your ability to get jobs or to travel, these kinds of things. Well, who would have ever imagined that they would use that to negatively score Christians, causing Christians to lose their jobs because they go to church too often, because they want to take their kids, their 14, 15-year-old kids to church. These are negative things. So that blueprint, you just begin to imagine how other regimes could use it, how China will use it and is using it. And it's chilling to see what it is. Now, you might say, well, then why is it number 17? Because remember, there are many factors in how a country scores. You have 100 million Christians in China. They're all monitored. They're all discriminated against in some level, some of them intensely. We have pastors in prison for 10 years. But within the family, it's the scoring within China is much lower, meaning that you're not likely to have your parents beat you up because you become a Christian in China. They might discourage it. They might frown upon it if they're members of the Communist Party, but you're not likely to be killed because of it, as you are in some places around the world. If you're in some very extremist Islamic families or Hindu families in some parts of the world, they consider it a great shame to be a Christian. So you don't have that high factor, but all of the other things are very, very difficult. And while violence is low against Christians in China, imprisonment is rising amongst Christian leaders. They're trying to decapitate the church. They're trying to force the church into a Chinese-style theology, which can adhere within a communist system. So they're needing to force a change on theology and these sorts of things. And the church is going to have to make a choice as to whether it's going to be independent, follow the teachings of Jesus and go underground, or if it's going to be neutered and made less valuable to the spiritual growth of its people.
Open Doors has indicated that both COVID and technology has accelerated the spread of anti-religious bigotry. You've talked about that with China. Is that also taking place due to COVID and this growth of technology? Is this happening in other nations as well?
Well, we didn't anticipate this. This was the big surprise in this year's data, and that is that extremists and governments were using COVID as another layer of persecution. I first saw it in India, where you had Hindu extremist local government areas where food was getting distributed. Everybody had lost their job. They're sent back to their villages, and these communities and local governments were withholding food and sanitary medical care from Christians because they were Christian. 115,000 families that we found that were having this situation happen. Now, for a number, myriad of reasons, sometimes they say, well, your church should be helping you because you're not part of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Other cases, they said, you brought a curse upon this village. They had a Hindu extremist mentality. So therefore, we want you to be withheld from this care. So this was happening on a massive level. Then we saw it in Pakistan. Now we're seeing in Nigeria, in other areas of the world. So it's a major, significant surprise that we saw in this year's data. Boko Haram is taking action, attacking Christian villages where they've been living together for safety, and attacking their hospitals, taking the medical supplies, attacking their food supplies, and stealing those. So as well as killing believers. So I mean, you can just begin to see how this was an unanticipated targeting because of COVID. It's added extra stress.
Well, I'm going to ask about some other countries here too, but David, I want to take this time as well to let our listeners know how they can obtain a copy of this, because there's a whole lot more information than what we're able to get covered on the confines of this program here. But how is it our listeners can obtain this World Watch List and even specific prayer requests for each of these nations?
Well, opendoorsusa.org has the list. It has this, well, I think even equally as important, if not more important, is the stories behind it,
yes.
The videos, the pictures. You could see what's happening. Who are these people in Nigeria? They're your brothers and sisters. Listen to their story. See what's going on. And really let God develop your heart for it, because we are called to help and to care. So they go online, opendoorsusa.org. All of the data is available to researchers as well. So they can get all of the formulas and all that kind of thing for those handful of people that are interested in that, because we want people struggling with what this means, not just for Christians, but for larger societies, for freedom of religion elsewhere, and for us here in America as well.
How can people, our listeners, actually use this list? How what is your intent for them to have this?
Well, our intent is to first educate and to inspire the American church, the free church, to pray, to care, to know what's going on, to learn. There's so much we can do to help the persecuted church. There's some places where it's hard to know how to help them. Mm-hmm. North Korea, for example. We have projects there where you can support and take part in it, but I think fundamentally we start with prayer. This is a spiritual battle. So I think that's part of it. But there's also things we can learn, Jim, from these people. When you think of I talked to a woman, Afordia is her name. She was executed, her husband was executed, pardon me, for his faith. Talking with her and hearing her story and her faith and her strength, how she stood up in the face of persecution, inspires me. We can learn from people like her.
Friends, we're going to take a quick break here. Again, their website is opendoorsusa.org, where you can obtain the World Watch List. You can download it. You can read it through online. Opendoorsusa.org. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Throughout history, most nations have been ruled by kings. Power, which concentrates into the hands of one person, however, often rewards his friends and punishes his enemies. The King of England was the most powerful king the planet had seen. So when Americans got the chance, they set up a government as far from a king as possible. A republic where the people are king, ruling through their representatives. So how do republics rise and fall? How do countries succumb to communist dictators? These and other issues are addressed in the book, Who is the King in America?, written by William Federer. You'll discover what makes America unique and the keys to preserving our freedoms.
Who is the King in America is available for a donation of $18. A DVD of Bill's teaching on the same topic is also available for $18, or if you'd like them both, a donation of just $30. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
Friends, it's critical for us to remember the persecuted church and to be praying for the persecuted church. Dr. David Curry is our guest today. He is president and CEO of Open Doors USA. Their website, opendoorsusa.org, opendoorsusa.org, where you can obtain this world watch list. And one of the things that are so appreciated about this list here, David, is that people can see the overview, see the map and the countries and how they rank. But in addition to that, you've got that breakdown where when you look at country number 1, 2, 3, or 18, whatever it might be, here's number 18, Myanmar, and you find out about what is the population of the nation, what is the percent of the Christian, what percent is Christian population, what is the main religion of that country, there's what's life like for Christians there in different prayer points. This really helps us to become better advocates in prayer for our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah, I think, as I was saying before the break, that this is you can use it for prayer. You can use it to try to illustrate, in your own heart and mind, and maybe for your church and your small groups, how we can pray for these folks, what they might be going through, and what lessons can be learned from their life, because these are folks that have counted the cost of their faith. And it's inspiring to hear their story. It's important to understand the context in which they are a Christian. Because our context, I think we all sort of see the shadows of coming intolerance, persecution. But what about the folks who are living in it right now? Yeah. What can we learn from them?
I'd like you to address Mexico as well. I see a year ago it was not on your watch list at all, but this year, out of your list of 50 countries, it's propelled itself up to number 37. What's happening in Mexico that causes it to hit number 37 on your list?
Well, Mexico and to a lesser extent, Colombia as well, mm-hmm. is one of those places where you have drug cartels that are targeting, I said lesser extent, but Colombia is number 30 on the world watch list.
Actually, and that propelled from 41 a year ago, so it jumped 11 positions.
Yeah, well, in both of these situations, you have drug cartels that are in certain quadrants of the country, and they are attacking priests, churches, both Protestant and Catholic, where people stand up against the drug cartel and their evil influence on the youth of that country, on the communities. And in Colombia, there's just been an increased killing of priests and bishops. There's been increased violence against Christians who try to stand up morally against the cartels, and it's making them rise on the world watch list. Now, people rightly say, well, you know, isn't Mexico or Colombia largely a Christian country, percentage-wise? The answer is yes, that's true, but that doesn't negate the violence against these Christian leaders within them.
David Curry, our guest here today, and friends, we're opening our phone lines. If you have a question you'd like to ask on this area of Christian persecution, maybe there's a country that you're concerned or burdened about, or have some question pertaining to our topic of discussion, our number is 800-733-9829. Maybe you just want to find out how you can help. 800-733-9829, our number to crosstalk here today, but certainly to burden our hearts with our brothers and sisters who are suffering on account of their faith. There's a lot of religious persecution taking place around the world. And David, one of the things that you said was shocking to you was how COVID and technology has been utilized here to an extent to increase this persecution. And there's something else I think that also stands out on your list this year, and you pointed out, I saw in one of your articles here, that this is the first year that every country in your top 50 is ranked as experiencing either very high or extreme levels of persecution.
Yeah, that is new, and that what that tells you is the intensity is wider spread. There were many years where if you got down into 40, 50 on the world watch list, there were issues within that country that were very significant and severe, but it wasn't as widespread. And now you have a situation where all of those countries, and some in, you know, when I look at number 51, 52, 53, because we measure many countries that would not be in the first top 50. When you get even down into Cuba, Sri Lanka, Niger, these are not in the top 50, but they have extreme levels of persecution as well.
Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's begin with Meredith in Spencer, Tennessee. Meredith, you're on the air.
Well, thank you, Jim. My husband and I have recently read Brother Andrew's book, God Smuggler. Can the gentleman tell me if Brother Andrew is still alive and what is his last name?
Thank you very much for that question. Brother Andrew, for those that don't know, was our founder. He began just basically by himself. He got a little VW bug. He was a Dutchman, and he began to smuggle Bibles into the Soviet Union to make sure that the body of Christ there had the scripture, wasn't isolated and left alone. Brother Andrew is still alive. He's in his early 90s. I have seen him, not for about a year and a half, but his health is waning, but his spirit is still strong. He is a remarkable person, and I can tell you the spirit of Brother Andrew is one of he was a spy. His name wasn't Andrew. That was a code name he gave himself to connect with the persecutors behind the Soviet Union, then into China and the Middle East as well. But he has a very Dutch name, which I don't give out over the media. I hope you understand. But if I told you, it would be hard to pronounce. Let me just put it that way.
Thank you. And did you have any follow-up here, Meredith?
I do.
Say that again, Meredith.
I thank the gentleman, and I say God bless him in all he does.
Yeah, indeed.
Thank you, Meredith. I appreciate that. And I would say this, Jim. I keep a picture of Andrew, and I call him occasionally on my phone because he's one of those heroes of the faith. I encourage everybody to read God Smuggler all these years later. The book and the story stands up because it's really about a person's personal walk with Jesus, their courage to stand with the persecuted believers.
Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. Taking your questions today or brief comments, 800-733-9829. Let's go to Lori in Michigan. Lori, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank God for your ministry and what you do. We've been supporters for many long years, including reading the book many, many years ago. But I just wanted to say that I don't think the church in America is really prepared for the persecution that's coming here. I think we're very weak, and I think maybe you can delve more into this. I mean, you would probably, because we're so spoiled and we're so materialistic, and we've kind of had everything our way, and I think it's going to be really tough for us. I've been all over the world. I've seen enough to tell you that I don't think America's prepared for what's coming. But, I mean, there's going to be the remnant that will stand, but I still think that a lot of people will fall during this time that's coming up here in the future. So maybe you can talk a little bit about that just for...
Thank you, Lori, for raising that issue. What about your comment on the church in America and the comments that she made here?
Well, I think it's a fair observation. I think that when I look at the American church, I see a weakness. I think, you know, I look back as to where the Chinese church was maybe, let's say, 7 years ago. The church had been under persecution in China, then it opened up, began to realize the value of Christian faith to teach moral structure. They had corruption problems, drug problems. And now, of course, they begin to crack down again. But when I visited several years ago, I thought to myself, this church in China reminds me of the American church. Their freedom, the freedom within China had made them very shallow. Mm. They'd lost some of the rigor that they had had under persecution, more materialistic. Mega church movements had sort of taken over. Now I was back this time last year, and I saw that the increased pressure had begun to help them to process and kind of find a deeper strength. I'm hoping that's what happens to the American church. There are some fundamental things we need to go through, I think. It's going to make us stronger. I think it's going to make us more focused on Jesus, more focused on Scripture, mm-hmm. more, not less, focused on unity. That's not to say that we have to give up our particulars within theology, but understanding that we are a family, brothers and sisters. There's lots of things that we can disagree on, but still agree on who Jesus was, the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, and that everybody who's in that tribe, we're together, and we can sort out some of our arguments off to the side, but we have to have a sense of unity. So I think there are some scriptural things that we can do to strengthen the American church, and I'd love to see that happen. I think we're going to be facing this. We are facing it now. Right now, there's a lot of schisms and division, some of it political, but not all of it. But I think we can come out the other side strong.
Kathy is our next caller from Wisconsin. Kathy, you're on the air.
Thank you. I have a comment and a question. I read God's Smuggler years ago, mm-hmm. and it was the first book that kept me up all night long. But anyway, I'm wondering how the Open Doors ministry compares with the Voice of the Martyrs.
Well, one of the things that makes Open Doors unique is rooted in Andrew's story of going, being present with the persecuted church. So there are great ministries in North Korea. There are great ministries in Somalia and Iran and all of these places. But Open Doors is unique in that we connect and are present with them in every country where there's extreme persecution. And our strength is really in distribution. So there, I would say Voice of Martyrs, others, they do great work. We have projects with them where we distribute and have in the past for them because we want them to win. And so we're different in some ways, mm-hmm. Similar in others, certainly in our heart for the persecuted church.
Yeah, certainly the shared burden there. Thank you, Kathy. Let's go to Gary in Ironwood, Michigan. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. I listen to your program on the radio every day. I was just curious about this morning's news that Biden is picking on Saudi Arabia, and he's leaving China alone. What's the story there?
Thank you. I don't know we can comment on all the political aspects and what's going on there as such, but your observations on this, as we see a change from one administration to another, is that going to impact persecution and what we're seeing, whether it be Saudi Arabia or China?
I think all of there are multiple layers to all of this. The Shia-Sunni split between Saudi Arabia and Iran, how we in past administrations had strengthened the Iranian element of this. It plays out in Saudi Arabia, it plays out in Yemen, in Syria. So all of these things are factors mm-hmm. in the level of persecution.
Thank you, Gary, for the call. We've got to take a quick break here. We'll come back to more of your phone calls with Dr. David Curry with us from Open Doors USA and their website, opendoorsusa.org. And I hope you're covenanting in your heart to be more faithful prayer warriors for the persecuted church. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Recently, I had in my TV studio and on my radio show an attorney from Michigan, Matt DiPerno. Matt is the only attorney in the United States of America to get a court order to do a forensic audit of Dominion voting machines. He reported to us that after having a forensic audit done by experts, they found many problems with the Dominion machines, including, he reported, a 68% failure rate. He also said that when they went in there to look at the machines, the logs like the system files, the adjudication files, the log files, they were gone. We also find, he says, that even blank ballots that are shoved through the machine are counted as a vote, and then they're sent to what's called adjudication, where someone or a group of people decide who they think you meant to vote for. We have a serious problem with our voting system in America, and the American people must demand free and fair elections to be a free and fair country.
Dr. David Curry with us here today on Crosstalk, and he is the president and CEO of Open Doors USA. And we've referenced this book, God's Smugglers, and callers have said, yeah, I remember reading that, and I as a host, too, I remember reading that book. Dr. Curry, this book, people can obtain this through Open Doors, is that correct? Probably a donation, or it's available for sale through Open Doors?
It's absolutely available through Open Doors, through Amazon, any of the other booksellers. It's even on Audible Books. I recommend people do it. It's a great story of faith, of strength. It'll stir their heart, and it's very applicable today.
Okay. Again, the website, opendoorsusa.org. Let's go to Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and we have Andrew who's calling from there. Hi, Andrew. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon again. In relation to persecution again, I wonder what the ramifications would be if we took the scripture about not being able to buy or sell at that point unless we had the mark. If we're willing to go and depend on God for our very survival, if you couldn't even buy groceries or gas or anything, then that'd be the ultimate in persecution. What do you think about that?
Well, and in fact, that is going on right now, is it not, David? I mean, people are forbidden to go to the marketplace and to buy because of them being born-again believers?
Well, you can certainly sense in China's system of monitoring online behavior, their ability to keep score, where this could head. Brother Andrew always believed that Open Doors was what he would call an end times ministry. Our job is to stand with the persecuted church, but to strengthen the American church as well, and to help us to understand what's happening around the world, what its implications are for us as well. That doesn't mean that we have to be Cassandras or people who sort of are putting cold water on everything. The reality is that we will be persecuted for our faith. We don't intend to stop talking about Jesus. In the end times, the church grows. It grows in strength while persecution intensifies. So I'm in by no means a negative person, but I do think we have to be clear about what the implications are of this technology and its effect on believers.
Thank you, Andrew. We've got Dave next in Arizona. You're on the air, Dave.
Yes, I just find it shocking that it's so convenient for Christian-dominated cultures to forget the historical and current events that led to anti-Christian bias.
Okay, and anything further on that, David? What is number one thing you're saying they're forgetting?
There are many countries that call themselves Christian, mm-hmm. yet have engaged in horrendous un-Christian actions.
Mm-hmm.
This is being sold to the world. Is fact. Christian nations are unwilling to address these facts, and that's what drives to anti-Christian bias.
Okay.
How the West, going back many centuries or even current events, have caused unrest, chaos in the world, promoted war. You know, you look at the Chinese, they don't have a good Christian attitude. The Christians came and warred upon them, you know.
So you're saying Christians are the problem for causing their persecution?
No. People who support themselves Christian.
I think I understand where he's coming from, and he makes a valid point. Let me use the example of the Middle East, for example. The Middle East was controlled and dominated by Western countries that were associated, quote, Christian countries. and the cause of the gospel didn't move forward one bit. So it's not just about governments, and they clearly brought a lot of pain. That association still exists, and it's somewhat to do with that history, and somewhat to do with the fact that they in the Middle East don't see the separation between state and theology. You have theocratic governments that then attribute everything that America does to Christians and can attack and so forth. But we have to be also clear in segment. I'm not suggesting that your caller is disagreeing with this part, but that China has its own ideology. And that ideology is about the government. It's about the communist system. And anything that challenges that is going to be attacked, and Christians happen to be the epicenter of that, because there are 100 million of them. And it has a spiritual value. The faith has a spiritual value. The message of Jesus that is transforming lives in China, and they are threatened by that.
Mm-hmm. Dave, did you have any follow-up here for our guest?
I'm just saying, it didn't come organically out of nothing. Mm-hmm. It's being marketed by North Korea, because this is what Christians did when they came into our country in 1950 to 1953. They killed 3 million of us. And that's what you get from Christians. And it has
You said Christians killed 3 million of who?
And I don't think...
Oh, okay. Thank you for the call here today. Brownfield, Texas, and Toledo, you're on the air. Hello, Toledo. Toledo, are you with us? Okay, let's go to Jim in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm a Gideon, and I was just wondering, as Gideons, are you able to work with them in any of these countries as far as scripture distribution? And my second question is, if we were to give financially to Open Doors, what would that money go for?
Okay, thank you. And we've got a minute here left. David?
Yeah, great. You have great affinity and love for the Gideons. We work with all manner of ministries. In many of the places we do distribution of Bibles, we do so covertly, and so it doesn't always lend itself to partnership with the Gideons, but we have great affinity for them, and we partner with many agencies.
Great. And if people support Open Doors, you said, how is that money going to be used?
Well, absolutely. Want to be effective stewards of that money, try to make sure it gets to people and motivates the church to care for persecuted believers. And all of those records are available online.
Okay. And again, the website, opendoorsusa.org. We apologize to other callers. We have completely run out of time here on the broadcast, but more questions, more issues, you can follow up with Open Doors USA. Again, that's opendoorsusa.org. David, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Jim.
And folks, just a reminder to don't lose sight, don't lose thought to the persecuted church, but to be praying for them. And certainly this World Watch List will open your eyes to that very aspect and help you to become effective in praying for them. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.